it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens,
and three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson on WEEI.
Reminder, you can watch WEEI Afternoons on Twitch, twitch.tv/BostonWEEI, where there's an active chat going on. I rejoined my friends in the Twitch chat.
Yeah, they were very upset, Andy.
I kind of had forgotten, and then I forgot my password, but I'm logged in today. I'm interacting with Free Mandela 353, Dark and Stormy Nights, Larry 1714,
don't
and all my
about, maybe don't read everyone's handles.
Don't forget about Brett Norton. He's always in there.
Yeah, well, but at least that's a real name. Yeah, I love the, see, Is Dark it? And Stormy Nights says, sup, Jumbo. So, you know, I'm interacting. I'm a man of the people. If there's one thing I always say, I'm not really a man of the people. I kind of
You hate people.
You're a man who argues with the people.
Ask Ted Johnson, because he saw me at the draft when there was 200,000 people around me, and I was uncomfortable. I do not like people. That's why I was glad I had a Super Bowl winning linebacker to use as a fullback and kind of part the Red Sea of people, and I could just blend in behind him. But yes, it's 3 o'clock. Ted Johnson's here. Fitzy's here. Hart's here. That means it's time for the 3-point stance.
319!
Ready!
It's the 3-point stance.
I'm going to count to 3.
Tatum puts up a 3. Bam!
Easy as 1, 2, 3.
Pasternak, a hat trick and a 4-3 Boston lead.
3.
And it is gone. A 3-run homer and the game is tied.
On WEEI Afternoons.
Time for today's 3-point stance here on WEEI Afternoons, brought to you by Jeffrey Glassman Injury Lawyers, Boston's go-to injury attorney for over 30 years. If you've been hurt in a car or work accident, or you think people are just the worst, you got to get Glassman. Call all sevens at 617-777-7777. 3 o'clock here on WEEI Afternoons, three hosts, each of which will present their stances on the biggest stories in the world of sports today. Andy Hart, you'll lead us off. You get 60 seconds or thereabouts for your opening stance. Are you ready?
Yes, I am.
All right, your 60 seconds begins right now.
Okay, I know I'm not the cinephile, I believe they call it, like Fitzy is, a film school guy. I'm not Ted Johnson, who has his own film club here on WEEI Afternoons. But I like movies, and the movie world, the acting world, lost a legend today. Robert Redford died at 89. And that music you hear is from what I believe is his greatest movie. I know some people will push back on this, but in my, I like to say, little fat Andy formative years, 1984, The Natural came out, and I think I liked the Bat Boy, right? That
go pick me out a winner, Bobby.
Go pick me out a winner, Bobby!
I think Bobby, the little fat kid, I think there was like a tie between me and the film and the legend.
Do you remember what the name of the bat was?
Wonder Boy. That's Wonder it. Boy. It's, I'm it. Telling you, Ted, it's my favorite movie of all time. In sports, definitely. It might be my just favorite movie of all time. And I got some pushback on the text line. What? It's boring. It's slow.
No,
it's this.
No, it's
I'm sorry. Other than the lights, nothing blows up. It's just a great story. And I don't know how you can't get caught up in it. It's so American. It's baseball. It's legends and highs and lows and tragedy and all these like
and
Shakespearean
love. Always
and love.
Love.
That whole thing.
Love story.
So, yeah, I just wanted to acknowledge here my love for The Natural. And if you haven't seen it, like Stiz or anyone else, go stream it. Go watch it right now. You will not regret it. Just go in with an open mind. It might be a little slow. It's also a little awesome.
The first time, Andy, first time, Ted, I ever saw my dad cry, he had rented a copy of The Natural on VHS from National Video in Braintree, and I had no idea what he was watching. And I came in, and on a Saturday morning, my old man is sitting there watching TV, bawling his eyes out. And I was like, Dad, are you okay? What's wrong? He's like, no, son, these are happy tears. And I look over at the TV, and there's the slow motion of Roy Hobbs rounding second. as all the sparks are coming from the lights, and Wilford Brimley and everyone in the dugout is leaping out, and the hairs on my arm are standing up right now remembering that. And I don't understand how, when people watch that movie, you don't appreciate its stance on greatness and the price you pay on romance, love, and why it's always logical to pursue what makes you happiest. And just every little detail that is sprinkled throughout that movie. I mean, like, you remember the name of the backup bat that he uses to hit the final home run, Ted?
Wonder Boy.
Savoy Special.
Oh, Savoy Special.
Oh, yeah, because he gave it to the little fat bat boy.
Oh, he named it Savoy Special.
Yes.
Okay, gotcha.
That's right. Yes.
But the first bat was Wonder Boy.
Yeah,
right?
the first bat was Wonder Boy.
Wonder Boy, which is the name of the Tenacious D's greatest song as well.
It was dumb, but every kid that ever played baseball dreamed of hitting the light tower, like even at your little league complex. Like, I wonder if I could. Would that really happen?
Hit those lights, will they explode?
Will it explode, and will there be little sparks coming down at me as I jog? Like, that is that ultimate dream sequence. So you guys might, you know, pick nits. I don't know if there's better films of his that people would say. But for me, that struck me in a certain way that that's just sad. You lose a legend like that, a part of your youth.
It's a hell of a run to make it to 89 and to have the impact that he did as well. His IMDb page is good enough for like five actors. Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, All the President's Men, 3 Days of the Condor. His directing debut wins Best Picture with a movie that I have to warn you has significant traumatic emotional impact with ordinary people. Sneakers was a Stevens Family household favorite in the 90s. That is a sneaky great movie. And for the dorks of the world, he's awesome in Captain America Winter Soldier. But as far as The Natural goes, it's my favorite sports movie. It's it barely beats out Major League for greatest baseball movie as well. And anytime I ever think about doing something awesome, the first line that pops in my head, Andy, is "There goes Roy Hobbs, the best there ever was."
Yeah,
I was a big fan of Indecent Proposal.
Oh, me too, buddy. Me too.
You creep.
It was.
That's a good flick.
It's a great movie. They built this tension and this conflict, and you're kind of like, yeah, they're broke. They're dream house.
It's Woody Harrelson, right?
Yeah.
That's the guy. And
here's the guy giving you $1 million for one night with your wife.
I'll tell you who would take that $1 million.
Tom Brady.
Tom Brady.
It would be more than $1 million, but he would take the money. You'd have to upgrade the proposal a little bit, but he would take the money.
Giselle, go ahead, man. By all means, please.
Yeah, he doesn't do judo, but go ahead.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll leave that one there. A touching tribute all the way to the very end about Robert Redford. By the way, some support for Andy on the text line from the 203. Your favorite movie is whatever it is, and screw everyone else. My favorite is Hook, and I'll die on that hill.
Wow.
Whoa, that is a hill I would not want to admit to dying
on. Come on, Robin Williams.
When the fat kid turns into a bowling ball and then breakdances on the pirate ship, come on.
Seems like it would resonate with Andy as well.
Ted, did you ever see, because I know you did this recently with your son, and, you know, the lineage in these movies and how they connect to us, which is what makes movies so incredible. Did you ever see the second movie he directed, A River Runs Through It, about fly fishing?
I did. I wasn't as much of a fan of that, but I'd have to really go back and watch it.
It's slow, but it's a beautiful movie.
Yeah. And I'm into beautiful movies. I'm down with that, man.
They're like great books, but with pictures.
That's right.
Well,
but also we're talking to, I don't know if you would like it, Annie, or Deirdre would like it, because it's a little slow. And, you know, Last of the Mohicans was, I guess, too slow for you guys.
It was a little slow for us. And you know what? I do wonder if I watched The Natural for the first time today, would I think it's too slow? Do I have some, you know, tie-in to youth or whatever? So, Stiz, bear with me if you watch it. Let's go to the phone lines real quick. Ron in New Hampshire has a thought on Robert Redford. What's up, Ron?
Hey, guys. Redford is one of my favorite actors, too. You've mentioned great movies, but the one that I loved was called All Is Lost, where he's out in the middle of the ocean on a slowly sinking sailboat, and they pick you up right in the middle of his trials, and nobody knows what happened. There's no memory, but he's just trying to keep this thing afloat. I thought it was a great movie.
Thanks for the call, Ron.
I've seen that. Actually, that is a great movie.
Andy, I think he was nominated for Best Actor for it. That was his final. He decided he was getting too old, and he didn't want to continue pursuing acting, so that was his final on-screen performance.
Interesting. Let's squeeze one more quick call in. Chris in Duxbury has a thought on Redford. What's up, Chris?
Hey, guys. So what about River Runs Through It?
All right. Thanks for the call, Chris.
He didn't hear that, I guess.
Apparently, maybe he was dialing at the time. Hey, River Runs Through, he likes it.
Okay. The audience changes every 15 minutes. And,
right, and also, like, how many actors created a film institute festival and like artistic movement based off the name of one of their iconic characters?
Yeah, no, he's pretty special. But for me, it all starts with Roy Hobbs.
There you go. I'm with you on that. And just one little small point. If you guys are, I don't know if you guys are snow skiers, but there's a resort out in Utah called Sundance.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a Robert Redford resort. And he makes the resort like a throwback. It's there's not like high speed this and high speed that. It's a smaller mountain, but the entire resort is just really cool. And
boutique, right?
Very boutique, very, but just a cool vibe all around. They got a restaurant called the Tree Room, this big, gorgeous tree in the middle of the restaurant.
Oh, that sounds cool.
Yeah.
Because what you were describing, I was worried I wouldn't fit in there.
The
but now
Owl Bar is another great.
Owl?
The Owl Bar. So those are two places at Sundance Resort. If you get a chance to go there, I highly recommend it.
Sundance, home of the film festival, Ted?
Yes.
It is. It's in Park City.
Oh.
It's not to be confused with the Sundance Film Festival, but I'm guessing it's a playoff of that.
Gotcha. So, okay, cool. Yeah. There you go. Learn something new every day. We'll leave that one there, and I ask you, Nick Fitzy Stevens, are you ready?
Since I just recently started doing my Duolingo again, estoy listo.
Okay. Muy bueno. Here's 60 seconds. Go ahead.
All right, I'm going to have to steer this one back into sports because your Boston Red Sox, after a night off last night, coming off of a frustrating series where they dropped 2 of 3 to the Evil Empire and really kind of a rough run in the post-Roman Anthony days, have 12 games remaining to try to qualify for the playoffs and secure their first postseason bid in 4 years. Now, many of us believe that they'll be capable of doing that, but it's going to take, sure, it's going to take somebody stepping up at the plate, but in my estimation, it's going to take somebody stepping up on the bump. Garrett Crochet has been good but not great of late. 8 dingers allowed over his last 5 games, and he's pitched the most innings to date in his career. Brian Baio, as Dan pointed out yesterday, has an ERA over 5.6 in September. He also soon will have pitched his most innings ever in a season. Giolito looking good, but also this is his first full season coming off of TJ. And Tolley has a fastball and has been knocked around a couple times since his electric debut on a Friday Fenway a few weeks back. So tonight, I don't think I'm late to the party, and I don't think I'm too early either. Connelly Early in his second start for your Boston Red Sox. It's again against the Athletics, who are kind of a quad A team. 5 innings, 11 Ks the first time. I don't expect a duplication of that, but I think a quality start tonight would go a long way in resting those arms and allaying some of our pitching concerns.
Dan Ball, we should remind everybody it is indeed an early start tonight at Fenway Park. We'll be out of here about 5:45 for the Mass Mutual pregame show. First pitch around 6:45, right?
Yeah, that's great, but you didn't need to do it in such a terrible pun.
Sometimes you just got to give the people what they don't want.
You prove that every day. What do we think about where the Red Sox, to Fitzy's point, and Andy, you can start off with this, where the Red Sox starting pitching stands? Because as Alex Cora said, we shouldn't be talking about October after the follow-up about Bunting where we're preparing for September. Do you feel okay about where the group sits for this stretch run that's going to determine whether you make the playoffs or not?
I feel okay. I think that's a good way to describe it. I do think this group has had some ups and downs, short stints over the year. And by this group, I mean the 3 starters you have. I don't mean the totality of all the starting pitchers. Crochet, the home runs are a concern. Like, you literally could lose the first game of the postseason because he gives up 1 home run. It could be a 2-run home run, 3-run home run in the second inning. You lose 3-2, you lose 3-1, whatever it may be, because I don't think we have much faith in the offense to score a boatload of runs like they did the other day, to go up 6-0 in the first inning. I don't think you can count on that in the postseason against postseason starters.
Definitely not.
So the home runs allowed are a concern for me. But to me, the strength, the most consistent strength of this team, not named Trevor Story, has been your trio of starting pitchers. I'm not going to pull the ripcord now. Do I have some concerns or doubts or some questions about Giolito, who we saw in person give up a home run that I don't think has landed yet to Aaron Judge? Baio didn't have his best outing against the Yankees, and we've had sort of this weirdness lately with Crochet. But, you know, sometimes you got to dance with the girl who brung you, or whatever the hell that old saying is that Ted probably uses and knows better than I do. These are the girls that brung you to the dance. You need to go where they take you.
Yeah, but if there's a situation where you need a fourth starter, who would you go with right now, Andy?
Right now, I'm with them. They've told you who they'd go with. It's Connelly Early. because right. when
That's
they saw
tonight's a big start.
And when he falls on his face, like people often do when they're young, if your name is, I don't know, Toley, or your name is J.J. McCarthy, and you follow up a great performance with a little bit of a, oh, he's still young and learning the ropes performance, then we're going to have a boatload of questions, right? If Early goes the Toley path and kind of shows, yeah, great first start, but then looked like a young pitcher second and third start, then I don't know what you do. And I'm just being honest. And I don't mm-hmm. think if you ask them, Truth Serum, 2:15 tomorrow.
Throw a dart at the
Alex
board.
Alex Cora. If they have a questionable early start tonight, we yeah. have to ask yeah. Alex Cora that. Who's your fourth starter right now? And I'm not sure he'll have a real answer. He'll have words.
You know, we're talking about the fourth starter. Sorry, I just interrupted you. I apologize.
It's fine.
Are we feeling good about our second and third starters? I mean, what's...
Okay.
We're sitting here talking about the fourth starter,
first.
But how about our second and third?
Wow. That's,
I'm anxious about Crochet, guys. Like, I think he's getting a little tired.
12 Ks. I'm fine with it. 12 okay. Ks. He's a horse. I'm going to ride him where he's going to take this team. I don't know where that goes, but it is. Like, I can't worry about that. We know who the three yeah. starters are, right? Yeah. Like, I mean, I guess you can worry about it, but it's like when your kid gets their license. Do you worry? But they have to get their license and drive, and that's part of just the normal evolution of being a human being. You have three starters. You're going to have... God willing, you make the playoffs, you're going to have to send them out there and say, I hope they do the good stuff, not the bad stuff, right?
That's it. But when we get to the playoffs, are we as worried about four starters?
No, like, I'm not. That's why I'm not really.
We're worried about making it to the playoffs at
yes,
this point.
Yes, I am a little bit worried about making the playoffs.
So it's a topical debate right now because people feel like there's a chance they might not even make it.
But if the top three do their jobs, if Crochet does his job for the rest of the regular season and Bayo and Giolito do their jobs, you are making the playoffs. They're yes. not missing yeah. the postseason because of Connolly Early and whatever he does tonight
or Cole Beck. Hold on. You want every win possible. And B, if we, even though I call them the Quad A Athletics, at the same time, he did just pitch against them a week and a half ago. They've seen his stuff. So it'll be a good challenge for him to go up against a team that has seen the best of his stuff and deliver tonight as well. I just want every win, first of all, and then to know that you could potentially have a quality arm as a fourth starter or if and when you would need to bring him in long relief if Bayo, Giolito, or Crochet craps the bed. These are good things to have. So, again, I think it's a good night for a great start.
Something just quickly to watch, and then we'll get to Ted's. Over the last seven starts for Garrett Crochet, he's given up 10 home runs,
yeah,
including six in his last three. So that's been his thing. As we mentioned yesterday on the show, Bayo's got an ERA over 5 in September, and Giolito with the walks has been concerning. But it's okay. They got you to this point, so we'll see where they can go the next couple of weeks. Ted Johnson, are you ready?
I'm ready, bud.
All right, we got a lot of Ted Johnson coming up next with the TED Talk as well. But in the meantime, here is 60 seconds. Go ahead.
All right, thank you very much. And we're going to be getting into the quarterback talk more in the 4 o'clock hour. But just I want to give you a little taste, a little kind of a thought on it. If you guys remember last week, I came in here and I was talking about J.J. McCarthy after they just beat the Bears and he brought them back down, you know, whatever, 17 points in the yep. fourth quarter to win that game. With three consecutive touchdowns in the fourth quarter. And all his teammates, I was reading you quotes about what his teammates were saying, what his coach was saying about him. They said that he got into the huddle when they were down 17-6, and he said this to him. He said, where else would you rather be? Basically showing everybody that he had everything in control and not to worry. And I love that type of mentality from the quarterback. You had Justin Jefferson say that when the lights are shining, he knows how to come to work, and he knows how to have that dog mentality. And I thought, man, wouldn't that be nice if the Patriot players were talking about Drake May that way? Well, guess what? They were after this last game. How about Morgan Moses saying this about Drake May? You got a guy, and he's looking and calling the plays. You're looking at him in the eyes, and he's speaking with confidence and enthusiasm. You know plays are going to work. That's who he is. He's a leader. He's our quarterback, man. He played a hell of a game. Yes, and there's more quotes from players talking about Drake May like that. That is what I've been looking for this whole time. Guys are finally believing in their quarterback from a performance like that. Let's just hope it continues.
Maybe if Morgan Moses was listening to the snap count instead of staring deep into Drake May's eyes.
I'm just kidding.
It's true.
No, actually. True. No.
He was so lost in his eyes that he was like, hey, what did he say was on?
Three penalties.
Or maybe if Christian Gonzalez was more focused on getting better as opposed to praising the quarterback on Good Morning Football today, huh?
Well, do you guys know why he was on Good Morning Football?
No.
Okay. I believe it was Hispanic Heritage Month.
Okay.
And so, or Latin, you know, he was there promoting
a good cause.
Yes. So it wasn't
he's Colombian, I believe.
Okay. Latin American. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, no.
But he was there for a good cause.
He was there for a good cause. It wasn't just, you know what, I want to go on and, you know, just promote myself and talk about, you know, how awesome I am.
Right. So
that wasn't the reason he was on.
You know, he
so probably, context.
And he knew going in, you're going to have to answer some questions about football and your injury and the quarterback and Drake May and things of that nature. That's generally how those appearances work as it goes. But no, I'm with you, Ted. As you said, in the 4 o'clock hour, we're going to get a little more into Drake May post Ted talk and where we are at. Did we overreact negative last week? Are we maybe prone to overreacting positive this week? Mm-hmm. How do we sort of land that plane on the aircraft carrier of reality?
An interesting discussion.
It's going to be fun.
I'm
but
not sure where I fall exactly.
Those of us that like Drake May, those of us that think Drake May is a diamond or the future or the franchise, it was good to finally see a game where you're like, yeah, that's what I expect from him.
Yeah, that's what I've been telling everybody.
That little flick.
That he's special.
Yes. Well, he looks special.
He looks special.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Barry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Barry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
And it's good to finally see that. All right, Dan Ball, thank you for holding down the fort with the three-point stance there. Coming up here on WEEI Afternoons, it's Tuesday. It's 3:30. It's a Patriots win. Ted Johnson's in the house. It's going to be time for a TED Talk. But first, we have Dan Ball with What's Trending.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Barry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Barry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.